You are listening to the Massive Report podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Massive Report podcast. You're now at our new home, the Point Tavern on Riverside Drive, where right now, as we're recording, the off-delayed Daytona 500 is still going on. Is this almost over? The guys, there was a big accident. I was very concerned, and everybody at the bar is yelling, "Yeah!"
Apparently, whoever they dislike must have been in the accident, and so they're happy that that gentleman is
or out. The guy that they did like made it through the accident.
Was it fair, Bubba fair. Licker in the number 9 Tidy Cat car?
Number 8.
Is that the guy no one likes? I don't like him.
I don't. Let's ask one of these.
I'm glad he went into the wall, Bubba Licker.
If I talk too much about this, I'm going to get yelled at for the second week in a row by people on Twitter for my podcast comments.
Oh, I think you talked about the Daytona 500 last week.
It's just left turns. You know, at the end of the day, it's just like
it's really fast left turns.
I know, but
I guess
if any of you guys had like Mario 64, there was that lap the donut. It's the same thing. I was doing that when I was like 7 years old. You know, come on.
All right. Well, let's
how can you crash?
We're off to a terrible start here. It's a good thing we don't have a sponsor anymore because they would be appalled. You know, every car has a sponsor. In NASCAR, we're looking for a new sponsor. If you'd like to throw your money down in this goodness and back the most amazing Columbus Crew podcast on this or any other earth, you reach out there at massivereport.com and let us know. How's that for a pitch?
All right.
Hopefully by next week we'll have a sponsor. Will we have a sponsor before the crew have a jersey sponsor?
We will.
That's the question.
We will. That's the bet.
We will?
I have 2-1 odds.
Well, we do have GCG bag, so at least we've got that.
Oh, well, that's true.
That's
Bart's bag. Okay.
Bart's not here, but
yeah,
somebody will take care of that a little bit later on. All right, so apologies, fellas, for missing the last couple weeks. I was sick, which I never get sick, and I was good and sick, so I appreciate you carrying on without me. I was wondering if it was even necessary for me to show up.
Oh,
it seems like you guys got it covered. So.
This guy.
We did it.
Thank you, Patrick Murphy, Alex Stanek, Mike Krosky, and, of course, Sam Fahmy behind the controls. He does not have a microphone tonight. That always disappoints me. I like it when he has a microphone. Let's start with the game action. Over the weekend, Crew 1 and Phoenix Rising from the USL nil in, what do they call it, the Sun Cup? Is that what we're calling it in Tucson, Arizona?
That
Tucson,
works.
Visit Tucson, Sun preseason
well, it looked like it was
Cup
gorgeous.
2020.
Looked like it was gorgeous out there. Alex, you said prior to the beginning of tonight's podcast that you were whelmed by the performance, which is interesting to me. I've never heard, it's either underwhelmed or overwhelmed, but I suppose whelmed would be right in the middle.
Yeah. It was about what I expected from a preseason game. I mean, it was pretty sloppy. The other team was pretty sloppy. We won, which was good. I feel like they got better as the game went on. But it was one of those games that I don't feel like you could take literally anything away from, positive or negative. Like,
are you
it was
sure?
it was just a thing. Right?
Now, I didn't watch it. But the thing in the account on MassReport.com that excited me the most was just Milton Valenzuela getting back out there and by all accounts looking as fit as you can considering all the time that he missed. And I don't think we can go anywhere without him this year. That's how important I think he is. How did he look?
Good.
Yeah.
Good. I thought he looked like the guy you saw 2 years ago. I think with these preseason games, it's always hard, like Alex was saying, kind of hard to judge a lot of things because, especially when you're playing a USL side, what do they have to lose? You know, it's not an Open Cup game where, you know, they're going to play defense and defend and, you know, try and steal a result in advance in the Open Cup. Like, why not come out and play against a team like the Crew? The Crew are still trying some things. I think you saw a lot of build-up out of the back. I mean, almost to a fault. They were doing it a lot. There was no just kicking the ball. And in MLS, you have to, as Greg Berhalter learned pretty quickly, you have to just kick the ball away sometimes. Like, you can't build out of the back like your Arsenal of the mid-2000s. You just don't have the talent. And so I think the Crew were trying to test some things. Phoenix was just trying to play its game, and it worked for some periods of time. But things like Milton, I think you can take away You know, we talked about, Mike, you brought it up, how important he's going to be for this team a couple weeks ago, but you don't know how a young kid comes back from a knee injury. I mean, you assume with modern medicine and him being as young as he is that the knee heals and everything's fine and you know, get back on the field, but it doesn't always work out that way. And so to see him out there running full blast, you know, playing in a competitive game, and it was competitive. It's not like the crew just bossed the game and he didn't have, you know, anything to do. Was good. I think just seeing some of the new guys on the roster was good. We got to see Zellerion. We got to see Nagbe playing with Artur. I thought Nagbe was, to use a little of what Alex said, I was underwhelmed by Nagbe a little bit, but I do think you saw bits and pieces of what he can do in the middle of the field. You got Chris Cadden in the second half a little bit. So there were things you could kind of take away from this game, but you know, I tweeted out at halftime, remember it's preseason, and you know, we're not going to know a ton about this team until we see them on March 1st or whatever it is.
Well, you know, also room was pretty stout, yeah, as well. I mean, let's not forget that.
Vito was another guy.
Yeah, so take what you want when it comes to preseason games, but in general, you just want to get the guys match fit. That's the main thing you want with preseason, and get guys to kind of get into a rhythm, especially since we have so many new guys. It's important to get guys playing together and get some chemistry. So wins or losses in preseason really are overrated. So I wouldn't put too much stock in it. But again, a shutout and a win.
Yeah, remember last year how well the team did in preseason and how the year went. This year they're doing well in preseason too, but I agree with you, Mike. I don't think results. I think you look at what happened on the field. Giassi Zardes, you know, played like Giassi Zardes, missed a couple good chances, but then did finish the one at the back post for the lone goal of the game. Room saved a penalty kick.
That's, you know, true.
So that's a positive.
It seems like in the account on massreport.com that of everybody on the field, that guy was in the most regular season form already.
And that's what you want. Yeah, that's what you want.
So saving a penalty kick, can't beat that. Made some other saves as well. Zellerion, are we more excited now that we've seen him play in the black and gold?
I mean, he showed flashes of the brilliance that I think we're going to expect from him. It was a little bit inconsistent, I thought, still.
Yeah.
You could see that he didn't fully understand where guys were going to be and things like that, in my opinion anyway, and Murph, you know, jump in if you kind of disagree. But
no, I think you're right.
It seemed like he was still at the beginning of his kind of gelling with that squad, but there were definitely flashes where you're like, okay, this guy's talented. It's just, you know, again, it's so hard to tell given the level of competition. You know, is he able to show those flashes because he's playing against lesser opponents? Are we going to see a lot more from him when he starts to kind of really get a good feeling for where the other players are going to be? So, you know, too soon to say definitively, but he's definitely a talented guy. I think, you know, if all goes well, he could be a real key piece of this team.
I think what you did see from him is kind of that ambition. You know, you saw him want to play, you know, the that final pass he took. There was a time when the Phoenix goalie came off his line and the ball went to him probably like 30 yards from goal. Probably had time to take a touch and put it in the open net, but he left, I think it was left-footed, one-touch shot, and it wasn't a good shot, but like you can see he wants to do those type of things that you want out of your number 10, stuff that Pipa did. You know, you've seen Pipa with the chips and things like that. So he's, I think that's a positive sign, even though it wasn't perfect. And we listened to, you know, the audio from Caleb last week talking about him and how he's still getting used to teammates, and you know, that's gonna take some time. But I thought, you know, it was positive. It wasn't, like as Alex said, it wasn't 100% consistent, but I liked his kind of willingness to take chances, willingness to look for guys, those type of things, and as they build that chemistry, I think that'll become more consistent when he's connecting.
You know, one of the things, though, people have to realize, it's fine to be inconsistent now. You don't want a team peaking way too early, especially in this league, because you can kind of squeak in under the wire and get in the playoffs. And if you peak then, who knows what can happen. So this is fine. Figure things out in the preseason and even the first month or so of the regular season and then go from there.
Well, if there's a storyline for me early, it's that Caleb Porter is going to be judged harshly if this team does not perform because of the Will Trapp trade. And it's Nagbe and it's Artur working together in the midfield. I think specifically we're going to be looking at that and how those guys work together. Do we have any sense so far of what that might look like?
I think you saw a little bit of it in this game. And again, you know, playing a USL side, I think we'll get a better sense when they play the Red Bulls on Wednesday, and then is it Houston that they play next Saturday?
Yeah.
Two MLS teams. So I think we'll get a better sense of that. But I thought they looked, Nagbe and Artur looked comfortable together. It wasn't perfect again, but, you know, like, and I don't think Nagbe played his best game. Artur had a couple shots from the top of the box. He was fine. But, you know, it didn't look to me like, hey, these guys are still trying to figure each other out. I got the sense that they at least have a good camaraderie, a good chemistry between the two of them, which jives with what I've heard, is that both of them have done real well in preseason. You know, would be that in practice or in the games, that the closed door scrimmages as they are. I think it was, you know, it wasn't like jump out of your seat, hey, this is that central midfield that's going to win an MLS Cup in Columbus. But I do think it looked promising. And
we're going to save that talk for the summer. And Stanek, you aren't going to judge Porter harshly about the Trapp trade, are you?
We covered that last week.
Okay, I just want to see if you want to rehash it.
Well, it's out there. I mean, he pushed his chips in the middle of the table. So,
yep.
I mean, that's something that we're all going to be watching.
I think to your point, and not even just the Trapp trade, but that's certainly a big part of it. You know, this is Caleb's team now.
Right.
He's not, I mean, there are certainly some of Greg's players still on this team, but they've made moves to get Caleb's guys. You know, we talked about the Portland guys last week, but even beyond that, the Warm Whore, the you know, Nagbe was a Portland guy, but this is the team that Caleb has helped put together with Bez and with Pat Onstead, and so he certainly will be judged. And I think, you know, we'll see how much leash he has as the season goes on, and you know, there's going to be ups and downs. Let's just be honest; it's an MLS season,
right.
But you know, this ownership group wants to win. Caleb wants to win.
Yeah, well,
let's be clear about that.
Yeah.
And you know, there will certainly be a judgment. You know, if you hit mid-season and this team is struggling because, you know, they've invested. Obviously, the biggest transfer fee paid for a player in Zeller Ion. They brought in, you know, what I think many consider to be certainly an MLS starting center back. Nagby's a guy who's at least on the national team radar. So you've got the talent here. It'll certainly be on Caleb and his staff to make this work. And, you know, coming off the season that they did last year, the pressure will certainly be on a bit more than it would be if, you know, maybe they made the playoffs and drop out in the first round or something like that.
The biggest thing is fans need to understand, look at the big picture. Because last year everybody was going nuts because the first 7 weeks of the season they were number one in the East, right? Everybody thought this guy is the next Christ on the sidelines.
I almost forgot, completely forgot that.
Jason,
it feels
Jason
like it was
Christ?
So long ago.
Yeah, Jason Christ. but I like your pun.
Thank you.
Anyway, but so people have to understand, oh, my gosh, if they have a two-game losing streak or something, oh, my God, the wheels are falling off. It's a long season in this league. So.
Well, I think one thing that we can probably count on is, and it's just one game, but Caleb Porter doesn't like to sub very much, and I think in basketball they call it, you know, a team that uses the starting five plus two or three other guys, they have a tight rotation.
Short bench.
I think Columbus Crew will have a tight rotation again this year. 14, 15 guys, and a lot of the other roster you're only going to see in open cup matches or friendlies or, you know, a blowout. But it doesn't strike me as a bunch. Caleb has his guys that he wants to use. Did someone win the NASCAR race?
No,
there was another wreck.
They finally
another wreck.
We spent like the last 20 minutes waiting for them to be able to start driving again, and they crashed within 10 seconds. So That was awesome. This is the dumbest sport.
Oh, you said it wasn't a sport. Never mind. Let's not go there.
Yeah, let's not go there.
I think Stanek, right. I agree.
I think you're right, Brian. I think, you know, while Caleb certainly wants depth, he wants guys he can count on. And, you know, on any given team, you can have anywhere from 11 guys that you count on. Ideally, you have a starting lineup that you can count on to, you know, 16, 17, 18. I think what we'll learn throughout the season is how many guys deep he wants to go. And I don't think you can know that quite yet. I think preseason you get an indication of how guys are, but, you know, throughout the year, whether they add guys or whatnot, that could get deeper. But I do think, you know, the starting lineup is predictable. It is what we saw, you know, this assuming health and no new additions, the starting lineup on the game against New York City FC will be what we saw the other night. I think we can all agree on that. Then you look to the bench. I think Adi's a guy that's going to play.
Yeah.
You're going to see Mokhtar, in whether that's coming off the bench or maybe in a rotational role. I think you're going to see Sebastian Berhalter some, because I just don't think you're going to need Nagby and maybe Aiden Morris too, but I think at this point maybe Sebastian is probably a little bit more of the evolved player from what I understand. And then the outside backs, maybe we see Kadden in a substitute role early on. The center backs, I think, as long as they're healthy and performing, you want to stick with two start. You know, those guys are going to get chemistry. And, you know, I've talked to Patrick Goldan about this, and Sam, you've been a part of these conversations, about like a guy like Abubakar Keita, who, while you want to get him time, you also, you know, do you want to send him out on loan to get minutes when he's not playing with the crew? Because, again, you're not going to do that. You've got Josh Williams and Axel
Sjoberg.
Sjoberg, there you go. Thank you. So, you know, and then Hector Jimenez is a guy who can, you know, is going to rotate in at various positions and whatnot. But
is he the longest serving?
Yeah,
he is now. Yeah, yeah.
Crew guy. Isn't that something?
It is.
Well, you know,
Josh went away. Remember, Josh went to Toronto and New York.
But you know, here's the thing about you talking about whether it's a short bench or not. Remember, they've compacted the schedules. So there's a multitude of 3 games in 8 day stretches that we're going
to. And also, Caleb said this, and I meant to bring this up last week on the podcast, but I think it was in one of the clips we listened to when he was talking about Aiden Morris and Sebastian Berhalter. They're not playing during international windows, and that's a decision MLS teams can make, you know, assuming it works out schedule-wise and whatnot, but they get asked about that, from my understanding, and he said when we talked to him, you know, we're not playing during international windows, which means there's going to be a few more of those even, because you've got to make up those games somehow. So on one hand, it'll be nice because you're not going to play games without a guy like Giassi and maybe some, you know, Luis Diaz and maybe a couple other guys, depending on what happens throughout the year. On the other hand, you're going to have to deal with those compacted windows, which if you talked about how they started last year, Mike, that's kind of what started them on the down roll, was playing in that international window when they didn't have Trapp, they didn't have Stefan, they didn't have Zardes. They lose 3-0 at Philadelphia for the first loss this season. So, you know, I think there's pros and cons to doing it either way, but I think, you know, we talk about that depth. You want to be able to rotate when you have those.
You have to.
And hopefully they've built that. I think if anything last year taught them was you need some depth.
Depth was needed last year for sure. Absolutely.
I'm going to miss Connor Maloney because sooner or later we're going to need him and he's not going to be here.
I liked him. I thought he did well. I really did. As the season went on.
I got so excited.
Mike and I really liked him
because
he was the same height as us.
That's true.
Well, he was such a spark plug. I'm so sad to see him go too, but that's the business we're in. Before we move away from this game, and you mentioned him, Worm the Horror in the back, I'm very curious about him as well. What did we learn, if anything?
I don't know how much of this is like physical appearance, but he reminds me of Pogatetz.
Yeah.
Like he's just like a big 100%. Physical center back.
That's what you need.
Yeah. I think he's gonna be a useful piece. I'm not sure that you would want him side by side with Mensah. Like I'm curious to see how that matchup is gonna go against pacey players. You're going to have to not play a high line if you do that, because neither of those guys is tracking back.
We want to, though, right? We want to press pretty high.
Well, that's the thing. Is I, 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 I have questions about how he's going to actually fit in the roster. I feel like if you had a different person paired with him, that might not be such a story. But at the same time, I mean, Gaston was, you know, not the quickest guy in the world. And,
most fleet of foot, if you will.
Yeah, and he did all right at Mensa, so, you know.
The one thing I think with Wormhoor, from what I've heard about him, that we didn't really see the other night is his ball distribution, I've heard, is very good. And I could imagine a scenario where he kind of takes on, and I think it was Patrick Golden that brought this up to me, because he kind of takes on that Will Trapp role when Will would drop deep and play the ball, not out of the back necessarily, but from deeper positions, those long balls diagonally and such. And then you have Nagbe, who's a little higher up and can be kind of the distributor in the midfield. That's just kind of my observation from hearing how he plays passes and whatnot, and we definitely didn't see that the other night, but I'll be interested to see how they use him in that capacity. But that's a good point, Alex. Neither Jonathan or him are the quickest, and obviously we've seen Jonathan, though it continues to get better every year with those key mistakes that have cost the crew from time to time. So, you know, I think they'll definitely be big and physical, and you've got two guys that are dangerous on set pieces,
yeah,
on both sides of the ball.
I'm just wondering what happens when Milton and Harrison kind of bomb forward and then you get somebody behind them,
yeah,
how they adjust to that. That's the scenario I'm slightly worried about with the signing, but I think he's a talented guy. I'm just not sure that he's the right piece for this system, but we'll have to wait and see.
Well, so here, two points to that. One, and I hate to bring this up because this gets under people's crawl a little bit, but...
Are you going to talk about the Portland Timbers?
I might. Borchers and Ridgewell were not the fleetest of foot, to use your words, Murph, and that worked out well. The biggest thing is if we're going to have Milton and Harrison or Harrison move up, we have to have some patience. So if Milton goes up, there needs to be communication where he hangs back or vice versa, or you have our tour drop considerably and then you push the two center backs out a little bit,
like
so you
Will
can't get cut.
Right. Like what they did with Will.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, that's the idea. But really, you don't have to push both of them up, meaning Milton and Harrison, for this system to work, especially if you don't have a burner in the back. So it can be done, but a fair point. It's just about, can these guys be patient and disciplined to not get that desire, oh, I want to push up two, get caught out of position, and then get beat.
So you mean Milton has to be disciplined because you know Harrison.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point.
But honestly, to that, like, Milton's forte wasn't bombing forward. He did it because that's what Greg asked of him, and he did it well because he's a talented player, but Milton's a defender first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Harrison is almost more of a winger that plays fullback.
He's like a classic wingback type.
The thing is, he's so good that it's hard to not tell him to bomb forward.
No,
because he's going to play inaccurate crosses.
I'm not sure if they're always accurate, but he's definitely going to cross the ball.
They're going to be more accurate than Harrison's, that's for sure.
Oh, you're talking about Milton.
Huh?
You're talking about Milton?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were saying Harrison. Yes.
No. I'm saying it's hard to tell Milton not to because he's just so good.
Yeah.
And, you know, he puts in good service, so
like a young tricky Juan Bissaka, who had a nice assist for Manchester United today.
You know, if another wreck. if you're talking about Harrison awful, remember, guys, he's not a spring chicken either. And in a very long season like this, it's going to be more and more difficult for him to push up into the attack and be able to keep that pace and stamina, especially, again, in these three games in 8 days type things. So there's going to be a rotation.
8 games in 3 days would be really
brutal. That would be brutal. That would be absolutely rough.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see. I think Harrison's one of, not a question mark, but, you know, at some point, a 34, 35-year-old guy who runs as much as he does, at some point, Harrison's legs are going to start to go a little bit. And
right,
that's the idea with bringing in a Chris Cadden, is a guy who maybe isn't ready to be a starter right now, but they see the potential of filling that similar role.
Right.
And so, you know, you hope you get a full year of Harrison where...
But there's also depth still in the position.
Correct.
Because
yeah.
there's Hector, you have Waylon. So, I mean, I get... Again, there's more depth this year than there was last year, and hopefully we don't run into a rash of injuries where we're playing like our fifth string outside back like we did last year.
Don't say that.
I know.
Don't say that. We haven't even started the season yet. You know, I looked at the – you can now look at the extended forecast on weather.com. It takes us to March 1st.
Oh, no.
You ready for this?
36. Oh,
no. Not bad. You
Is
say
it?
36?
Ooh, I was going to be like – I was going to go low, like 18, but you make it sound better.
I was watching them put out the fire. What was the question?
I was looking at the extended forecast for March 1st because I'm very excited. What do you think it's going to be that day?
I'm going to say 50 degrees.
No,
come on.
No chance.
Well, it is 50 right now, so I guess it's in the realm of possibility. Now, 42 and partly sunny is what they're saying.
I'll take that.
We can live with that. As long as the precipitation stays away, so make sure that you're getting your tickets. Let's have a good turnout against hated NYCFC.
Well, they should probably start advertising for that game.
Yeah. Well, they have on the radio station. They have on the radio station.
Oh, they have?
So,
okay, good.
So, you know, the word is getting out that it's rapidly approaching. It seems so far away, and now it's almost here.
When I was in Chicago, this was in January, they had billboards, newspaper ads, stuff everywhere for the
Soldier
Atlanta
Field?
For the Atlanta, yeah, because they play Atlanta United to open the season. Mm. I saw it all over the place, and you're moving back to downtown Chicago, and this is a whole thing. And I get that that's a big deal for them, but it surprised me that I haven't seen as much, and just not more. I expected with year two of this new ownership group, and this is a completely other topic. We don't have to go down this path, but that I would just start seeing more crew stuff around, and you know. Like, if you jump in a random Uber and you ask an Uber driver, can you name me three players on the crew? What do you think are the odds that your random Uber driver can name three players on this team?
10%.
Yeah, like, they should be marketing the heck out of a guy like Zellerion. Like,
yeah.
You asked me, Brian, before how you pronounce his name. You should know that because that should be everywhere.
Well, I've heard
you know?
It, like, three different ways. Right, and which one is the right way? Because I keep hearing different pronunciations.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure I
we
get
don't,
it.
Again, we don't need to go on this. I'm just surprised that – and maybe they're waiting for the new stadium and whatnot, but I'm surprised that it's just not like, let's make a big push to get a sellout for March 1st.
I agree. I agree. And I know the focus is on the new stadium, but we have our old war horse to say goodbye to this year, and I guarantee you there will not be a dry eye in the house at the end of the season. It's when you think about all the memories that we have invested in that place and everything that's happened there, the cup-winning team, the MLS Cup coming up just short, and everything in between, the players. I know you're writing a profile on Brian McBride, Mike, which is I really look forward to reading. And he played on that pitch. So this is a special season, and they need to make sure that they're paying proper respect to the hallowed grounds of our little erector set, because even the least sentimental crew fan, they're going to be feeling it at the end of the season, I guarantee. And I'm going to be a mess. Bart and I will be in our final beer line, getting the last two pints before they cut us off. And we'll toast to Mapfre Stadium.
Well, we'll still have a couple months next season before they open.
What?
The stadium opens.
Yeah.
The stadium's
in the
opening
summer.
In the summer.
Made aware of this.
Yeah.
How did this happen?
I think they said it at the groundbreaking. I don't
they did?
Remember.
Well,
I can't remember.
Well, Bart and I were in the beer line at that, too, so I missed that.
He said that was an idea or a plan or something, but he also sounded very unprepared to answer that question. So I think that would make sense. Like, you have the stadium. Why not use it?
Right.
Instead you don't want to play
10 games on the road.
Well, that whole soliloquy
about
the stadium
is going to be – they'll have already begun construction on it to turn it into a practice facility. It won't be Mapfre Stadium as we're going to know it this year. So it's definitely – I mean, I think you're right. The end of this season is the end of that era. Whether you use it for, you know, three home games or something
next year.
Because it's – I mean, you see the results in MLS when you play
– like 10 on the road.
10, yeah. I mean, like Portland did that last year, and they just – I mean, it sounds great to have so many home games.
Montreal did it for like half a season because they couldn't grow grass, right? So, you know, it's a whole thing. So, if that's the case, I apologize. Color me stupid. It's not the first thing that I've been ignorant on.
Well, I think it's also just kind of – I think it's a good idea to start in the summer because then you have a higher chance of game-on-game sellouts in that stadium, whereas if everybody's first impression of the stadium – and if for a lot of people, first impression of the team, unfortunately, is like 34 degrees and rainy – maybe they're going to be like, that game was fun, the stadium's cool, but I was kind of miserable. I was cold, and my kids were crying, and I didn't want to, you know. But if it's, you know, in the middle of May, late May, you know, the weather's nice, you got the nice shade from that brand new beautiful roof.
It'll be in June or July or whatever they said.
Yeah, whatever.
Wow. I guess I got to go down there and motivate people or something.
Stanek,
I want it to open at the beginning of the season. I guess that's just too much.
You are not wrong. So in 2008, I went to the – so my brother lived in Denver, and I went to the opening of Dick's Sporting Goods Park, and he never went to Rapids games even though he lived there forever. And it was like 28 degrees, cold as all hell, no sun, and he was like, screw this, I'm sitting at the bar. So I sat in the stands by myself because he was like, forget this noise, and he just sat in the bar the entire game. So I'm sure there's plenty of people who would – and I don't think he's ever been to a game since. So – you know.
All right. Well, sooner or later, you got to put up with some weather. I mean, we live in Ohio.
The Daytona 500. Sorry, it's ended. We don't have to worry about screams.
Who won the big race?
I don't know. There's a little girl.
Some guy in a FedEx
last car
shirt
that was running. It was like a FedEx guy.
I think it was Derby.
I think it was a guy named Denny.
Denny, which is
like the most.
Stereotypical NASCAR name.
Guy named Bubba was second.
Did they have anything about him?
Denny Nards and the number 66 Mountain Dew Light.
Yeah. What was his car sponsor? He was FedEx.
FedEx.
So congratulations to FedEx.
Good job.
Stanek, I know we argue a lot, but I said FedEx like four times. Did you not hear? Were you not listening to me?
I'm not paying attention. I'm still waiting to see whether the dude in the car that was literally on fire is okay or not. They have cameras in the car. Just cut to the camera in the car if he's moving around.
I don't want to see the inside of a burning car. I mean, it's a horror show. It's like MMA. I can't watch that either. There's blood flying everywhere. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I just want
to
see him like,
it's just
uncivilized.
Yeah.
I hope he's okay.
All right, so we've covered the Phoenix game. We've got Red Bulls Wednesday at 8:30. You can watch that on YouTube. You can link through the crew website, the Phoenix Rising website. They are the hosts of this event out there in Arizona. And then Houston this weekend, and then we gear up for the aforementioned NYCFC match. So since we're not breaking, right, Sam? We're just plowing through. What do you have to play if we break?
Let's take a break. I could use a beer.
Oh, well, that's a good point. All right. During the break, Alex will sing God Bless America.
Wait a minute. Who is this? Who's got
it? It's Robert Palmer.
Yes, I knew Brian would get it. Attaboy, Brian.
You mean the guy that works for a radio station?
I know.
From the mountains.
Addicted to Love, quite possibly the stupidest song ever.
I'm not actually going to sing it.
All right. Coming up next, more from the Massive Report here from the Point Tavern. Welcome back to the Massive Report here from the Point Tavern on Riverside Drive, our new home. The NASCAR race is now over. Somebody won, and I'm glad because guys were yelling. There were a lot of accidents. Don't tell me that people don't watch NASCAR just for the accidents, because that's bullcrap. That was the only thing they were excited about. There was like fire, and people could have been seriously injured, and there couldn't have been more excitement here.
I haven't seen this much spinning out of control since FC Cincinnati in the table last year.
Who is that voice?
That's all I'm saying.
Hi, Matt.
Hi.
It's Matt from Saucy. How's Saucy doing? Are you guys saucy, saucy, saucy?
Being super soft. I can't hear myself, Sam. This is the problem.
Just talking into the microphone.
No, I know. Well, usually you yell at me for being too loud. This is where I'm at.
A new segment this year is something that we already do, and that's make fun of other clubs. And number one on our list of our making fun hit parade is always FC Cincinnati, which has turned into, and the season hasn't even started yet, and it's an unmitigated disaster. Where do we begin? Let's begin with manager Ron Yons, who is on his way out the door because apparently he's a racist. Is that true?
Yeah, that's not good. That's a bad
What did
look.
He do? What did he? I've been delirious with fever for 2 weeks. I feel so out of it. What did he do?
Apparently used some very inappropriate language.
It was a part of
saucy
a song.
Language, perhaps.
No, that is not saucy language.
So he was singing a song to the team? Why would a coach ever sing to their team?
He was singing along with a song that included some racial slurs that he said out loud, allegedly.
Where?
I don't think
he was drunk. No, he was
I think it's pretty clear that they are admitting that this happened, and they're just looking into it. So
what kind of song?
Unclear. I mean, you can imagine what.
Why
kind
is a
of
grown
song.
Man singing songs with bad words in them with his soccer team? He has a job to do.
I don't know. I mean, I've done hip hop songs at karaoke before, but I self censor.
Sure,
it's
not that
it's
hard.
Not a,
I think most of us.
It's not a good thing to do.
Here, look. Just for the sake of the conversation, let me play devil's advocate. Perhaps the fact that he comes from another country, maybe it's not as big of a deal. I don't know. Where's he from? Like Netherlands or something? So perhaps singing along to such songs isn't as taboo as
trying to bring
here.
The team together by dropping an N-bomb.
Yeah, I think you need to.
I think that's still a pretty bad word in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
I've never lived there, so I couldn't speak to
it. You need to make
to
yourself aware of the culture here, especially around athletes of multi-races.
He's not a dummy. He's been a coach forever.
But
give
this isn't
break.
The only negative FC Cincinnati.
No, and then we have Darren Maddox, one of their best players, has apparently been charged with two felonies, and not even cool felonies.
Yeah.
Like street racing fired a machine gun in the air or something. Two felonies for alleged insurance fraud? That's so boring.
Yeah, what is
insurance fraud?
Well, it's in Pennsylvania, too, which is, sorry for any Pennsylvania people out there, but the most boring state.
Pennsylvania insurance fraud is actually the name of my new emo band.
I will come see you anywhere you play.
So,
Rumba Cafe.
So already they're going to have to fire their manager, and Darren Maddox is going to be, I don't think he's going to go to jail or anything.
He scored against the crew
last year. Fat fine, and it'll be fine. But still, it's a distraction for a team that is barely alive at this point anyway.
And is paying Fernando Adi's contract.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. They turned him loose, and we picked him up, and they're paying his contract.
Yeah, he's out on $50,000 bail, and he's not even the biggest disaster in the team this weekend. So, I mean, good timing for Maddox to.
Is there anything else I need to know about?
Nothing yet, but right. I mean, check back tomorrow. So.
You know, they signed Dan Lolly, so it's only a matter of time.
Okay.
Lolly just tweeted he's working for FC Cincinnati. I'm joking. As far as I love Dan Lolly, Dan Lolly, to my knowledge, has absolutely no criminal record. Love you, Dan.
Good Lord. All right, so off to a smashing start down there at FC Cincinnati, where apparently when they finish, Matt, you were saying that when they finish their new stadium, they will be mobile ticketing only?
Yeah, and this is the one thing I kind of wanted to talk about, and I thought this was – I didn't like it when USA Soccer did it for the
it's
USA
confusing
Mexico game.
For me. I have a hard time with mobile ticketing.
It's hard for old people.
I'm an old person. Don't do this to me.
They're doing only mobile ticketing is where my concern is. And it's with the new stadium. Apparently this year, if you wanted your season tickets in paper, you had to pay a little bit extra. Whatever, it's just for season tickets.
They already can't afford
still,
paper in the printer?
You can
this
still
is
walk
a bad
and,
sign.
You
that's where all that Fernando Adi money went.
I mean, to be fair, the crew do charge, they do charge it for group and front office purchases. I think it's a $5 fee to print your tickets out or something along those lines.
They're trying to drive everybody, and good, we save trees. That's excellent. But you know, it just seems needlessly complicated.
But this is my concern, is they're making the price of entry, and I don't think this is necessarily intentional on the FC Cincinnati part, but they're making the price of entry also having a smartphone. Now, we all come from, I'm assuming that everyone sitting around this table has a smartphone.
I do.
However, there are a lot of people out there.
Sure.
That whether it's...
They're expensive.
The price of entry
especially
is now
in
own
Cincinnati.
A $400 piece of hardware plus buy the tickets.
Well, and you're paying that bill every month? Every month my wife is like, oh.
And to me what that is MLS saying we don't want people of a certain socioeconomic status showing up to our games.
I
don't think that's necessarily the intent.
Oh, what if you're rich but you're just a big fan of flip phones?
That's the other thing. That's the other. Then you gotta buy one.
To buy a smartphone just so you can go into a game.
Scanned, and then
stupid.
Smash it afterwards.
Boy, that's...
But I do think it's a conversation that because it kind of frightens me that FC Cincinnati is doing this when they move into their new stadium. Apparently, one of the New York teams I think is already doing this.
Which one?
I don't remember. I looked it up earlier. I think it was NYCFC.
I'm sure it is.
But there may be other teams. I had only heard about this. I saw a tweet, and I'm like, I don't think this is a real thing. And then I looked it up on the FC Cincinnati website, and it's a real thing. And the biggest thing that bothers me about it is that it is, I don't think it's overt or intentional, but it is kind of a discrimination via socioeconomic lines. And that's, if MLS wants to be inclusive and MLS wants to have people of all walks of life showing up to the games, then that is a problem when you're mandating that they own a, you know, $400 to $500 piece of technology just to show up to your games. And that's what I was.
And how am I supposed to stand on the corner with a fistful of FC Cincinnati tickets down there, you know, doing my business?
Well, why
a couple
would you
blocks
that?
From the stadium.
Why would you do that? Who's yeah. buying those? That's just a waste.
It's
of
not
your
a very
time.
Good business plan.
Stanek, how much do those tickets cost?
Who's buying those?
All right. Well, we've finished crapping on FC Cincinnati for this week.
Have
so
we?
Unless we have anything else.
All right, well, can we crap on? Are we crapping on other teams?
Well, yeah, we're going to move on to NYCFC, cool. Our first opponent on March 1st. They apparently, after all this time of playing in the ball field, playing on the softball field there, they've decided that they may build an actual stadium underneath a parking garage in the Bronx, which is my idea, the world's first underground
That'd be
soccer
pretty sick.
Stadium.
Now, isn't that where they found the corpse of William the Conqueror?
I once played an under.
Well, that was a Sainsbury's.
I played like an underwater soccer game in one of the Final Fantasy games one time.
It was called Blitzball.
I don't think that counts.
That's it. Yeah,
it was called Blitzball.
Yeah, it was basically underwater soccer.
Goes interconnected.
So is this for real?
Oh, yeah,
the land alone is just going to be ungodly.
It said, if approved, the stadium will be built on the current sites of one of the old parking garages currently used for Yankee games, and the GAL Elevator Parts Factory across East 153rd Street.
GAL elevator parts?
That sounds like a that's where I get all my elevator parts.
That sounds like a place where Cosmo Kramer used to work.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds legit, but we have been here so many times where it's been like, oh, they're going to be at, what was that thing, the docks or whatever?
Yeah,
something like that, yeah.
Yeah, whatever the heck, the Battery Park or whatever, yeah, there was, they've been like seven.
The old World's Fair? That Flushing Meadows or whatever?
Yeah, yeah, Flushing Meadows.
Well, but this,
they've done this so many times.
Don't the Yankees own this? Isn't that part of why this might actually happen?
I think that
do they own the land?
Do they own the elevator factory?
I think they own, like, the parking garage is the Yankee game parking garage, I believe. So maybe they don't own it, but if they've got connection there that seems legit enough to, hey, we can make this work,
hey,
from my understanding.
I'm all for it. I'm tired of watching games in dumb fields.
Stupid.
It's not even soccer.
Well,
I don't know what it is.
Especially for a team like that. You know,
it's supposed to be like a global team.
Yeah, so you've got Yankee money, Manchester City money behind you, and you're playing at the Yankee Stadium in a stamp-size field, and I've been there, and I've sat in the stands there. It's
Bragger.
Not a good. It's not a good view.
So it needs to go through a public approval process still. And, I mean, even the team is kind of like, you know, hold on, we still have a bunch of stuff.
Well, here, look at this. It says, in order to connect the two plots on which the stadium will sit, that block of East 153rd from River Avenue to Major Deegan Expressway will become part of the playing field. So an expressway will be
just
part
like
of so they'd have
over the stadium? Like,
yeah, I know, right?
To the expressway or through the expressway?
Like, they would have to cut that expressway
in half?
People shouldn't be driving in that city anyway. It's fine. They need to start taking out roads.
I mean, it is New York. They could just run the expressway under the field.
Sure. I mean,
or just on the field. Like, mid-soccer game, you got people crossing.
Like the airport in Gibraltar?
There you go.
You got at halftime, traffic will pass.
It's just a 90-minute red light.
Yeah.
During halftime, you can get through.
The light's finally green.
And
we can go.
To be honest, the traffic wouldn't be much worse than
it
would
be
normally.
It wouldn't be any different.
So a 90-minute red light, so like nationwide and hot.
Or anywhere in New York.
Yeah.
Anywhere
that's
in the Bronx.
Awesome. Yeah. Just put a road right through the middle of it. It's still better than what they have now.
Correct.
All right. So NYCFC, maybe in the year 2030, we'll have a stadium. We'll see.
Fingers crossed.
I'm skeptical. I'm very skeptical.
Well, they got to do something.
I would like to suggest a topic of making fun of other teams.
The Chicago Mutiny?
No, but you're on the right track.
Okay.
The Chicago logo.
It's the worst thing I've ever seen.
Correct.
It's the Tampa Bay Mutiny logo.
It is. You're right. So I knew you were on this. But not only did they do it, but apparently they're already considering changing back.
Good.
Good.
Or at least changing it again.
Good.
Like, it would at least sit through this season.
Yeah.
But apparently they have gotten so much negative feedback, which imagine you're a sports team.
Someone bring that up on their phone for me.
It's just a picture of Grumpy Cat just saying LOLJK. That's the new logo.
No, I haven't seen that. I tell you, I've been sick for 2 weeks.
It looks like a graphic from an Atari game. Yeah. It looks like an explosion from an Atari game.
That's a great analogy, Steve.
What is the yellow? The yellow wasn't even part of their colors.
Who knows? I don't know what they're doing.
I'm not even sure what color that is.
Show that to me again.
The guy who runs this team used to be one of the head dudes at MLS. So, I mean, it really tells you about, you know, the quality morons that are running our league.
It's so dumb. Real quick, I think that I was not a huge fan of a lot of the original MLS logos. Like, they all were very 90s. But the Fire logo, I thought, was actually one of the better ones. Like, it represented the name, like the Fire. You know, actually had the Chicago Fire badge. It made sense. Like, there was a, you know, like some of the team, like, what is the Crew? Like, a lot of people always ask, like, why the Crew? Well, the Chicago Fire makes a lot of sense. And that logo went along with that.
Because of the disaster? I mean, that's the
Sure, but there's a lot of things that do that.
The New York Titanics?
The San Jose Earthquakes. I mean, you know, like.
The Miami Hurricanes.
I know, but isn't the San Jose Earthquakes kind of a weird name? But also, I mean, how many people die in earthquakes in San Jose?
I don't know. There's the Redskins in Washington.
They should have kept the Clash name. Let's be honest. I mean, there's no better name than that. They blew it a long time ago when they stopped
being the Clash. But the best part of that is that their supporter section is still called the Casbah.
Good. Good, as it should be. Yeah, that's a pretty awful logo. But they're stuck with it now for at least this season.
It represents the giant spike pits in Chicago that exist, and then the reflection of said spike pits on Lake Michigan.
I missed that.
That's what it does. That's why Sonic the Hedgehog loses all his rings whenever he runs through Chicago.
Okay, and now they're right by Soldier Field,
That's exactly what they look like. It's from Sonic the Hedgehog, the number one movie in America.
This is the tie-in. Yeah.
Yep, you got it. All right, so we have expansion teams coming in. Do we know anything about what they're going to look like?
Pardon?
Anything to be interested in or excited about with the expansion clubs? Anything we know?
Miami has Will Trapp.
Well, I know. They have Will Trapp.
They officially signed, what's his name, Pizarro today? Their DP.
Claudio Pizarro?
No, the...
I didn't even know he still played.
Is Chicharito to Miami a thing?
No, he's in L.A.
He's in L.A.
Oh, L.A., I'm sorry. LA signed him. I thought he was attached to Miami for a while.
They were linked.
Miami's been suggested for every big name player you can think of.
Rodolfo Pizarro.
Rodolfo Pizarro. Never heard of him.
I was listening to SiriusXM, the show that has Tony Meola and Brian Dunseth on it. I don't know what it's called. They do a great job, though. But they have, once a week, they bring on a Liga MX guy. And they were talking about this transaction. And he basically said that they overpaid. And he was like, he'll be a good playmaker, but if they expect him to score goals, like, that's not what he is.
They have a natural advantage in terms of, like, from a retirement league standpoint. Because Miami is every Serie A star in all of Italy goes to Miami every winter and every
summer.
Like, it's everybody's there.
Pogba
I have
Rashford
friends down there.
And they're like, oh, retirement home.
I just walked into Del Piero and Maldini on, you know, the beach, and, you know, I was in a club last night, and Radamel Falcao and, you know, Zlatan Ibrahimovic were there. These guys go there. It's, like, the place to go if you're a European soccer star.
Yeah, they want
to
go there to relax, not run for 90 minutes.
But when you are a big name and you come to Major League Soccer, you do that to relax. Don't you remember Steven Gerrard basically said that as soon as he got signed? It was fun.
Chicharito talked about retirement before he was even actually on the team.
Yeah, we should talk about that. He was like, yeah, this is the beginning of my retirement. He said that at the press
conference.
You
know what? I've always been a fan of his. I want to see him in the league.
I actually think that's a very good signing for them. I think that he gives you things that Zlatan gave you in terms of the goal scoring and like a target forward. But he gives you also the, like, team aspect that Zlatan does not. And I think that, like, LA, the Galaxy haven't been great in a while. And I think, like, this could be a year when things come together. I'm very interested. I think right now the best rivalry in MLS, even though it's very young, is El Trafico, which also has the best name of any rivalry in MLS.
Without a doubt.
And it was brought up as
Hell is real is my
favorite. It's brought up as a joke.
Trafico.
Yeah, it was brought up as a joke. El Trafico was a joke, and then caught on.
Yeah.
And that's the best part of it. But anyway, I think that'll be... I'm very excited for the games between those two teams this year because I think they were great last year.
Yeah.
But I'm very interested to see how that works and Chicharito there.
So I want to talk about two things real quick. Speaking of Miami here real quick, the Miami Marlins, the summer outdoor team in Miami.
That baseball team.
Yeah. That,
for those who don't pay
attention. Well, apparently baseball is pretty big with the same audience because according to everybody that I've heard, the Hispanic audience is going to come out for soccer games. Baseball is also very big in especially Central American and Caribbean countries. Their average attendance, 10,016.
Yeah, but they're not playing at the old Lockhart Stadium.
Yeah,
so
the old Lockhart Stadium where the Miami Fusion averaged 9,403.
I'm glad you had that.
I love that Lockhart Stadium.
Yeah, they play a lot more games though, and I don't know. I think Miami's going to be successful. Going back to the Chicharito point for 2 seconds, I think Chicharito is one of the biggest signings in the history of this league when you take it in its totality, both in terms of the quality of the player that you're getting and also the marketing potential. I mean, Chicharito is the biggest Mexican soccer star of his generation. It's a big deal that he's coming here instead of leaving.
I mean, could argue ever. I mean, there's definitely guys that are in that.
Yeah, yeah.
He played for Manchester United at like the height of Manchester United.
Yeah,
but, like, and was a big deal. Yeah. Yes, I'm wearing Manchester, but I'm just saying, like, how many other Mexicans have gone over to Europe and been super successful?
I mean, it's like Campos and Chicharito are like the two.
Right. I mean, what's his name? Who was on Arsenal for a long time? He was back in in L.A. last year.
Vela.
Yeah. Like, he was always on loan because he couldn't get a work permit because he wasn't playing for the national team. But, yeah, I mean, I think Chicharito's a home run. I mean, wherever he would have ended up in MLS.
And the league is basically not marketing him, which makes zero sense to me considering that
I'm telling you, people love him.
You know who Chicharito is? And, like, he's Ola Kamara. Like, he does a lot of the same stuff as Ola Kamara. And I'm only saying this because I know there's a ton of Crew fans who don't pay attention to a lot of European soccer stuff. But, like, he is, like, elite-level Ola Kamara. Ola Kamara, except he doesn't miss. That's the type of player that the Galaxy's getting. And he's also just, like, an awesome personality. Like, speaking of marketing, they should be marketing him. And I assume the Galaxy will just have him everywhere because he's just, like, a fun-loving dude.
But, I mean, they did – Zlatan did the talk show circuit and all this stuff. I mean, he should be all over sports radio. He should be all over ESPN doing interviews. He should be on those late-night shows. And they should be pushing ads on social media like crazy for him.
Yeah, Zlatan,
in multiple languages, English and Spanish. You know, promote him everywhere. He is that big of a deal.
I agree with you. But Zlatan, like, transcended soccer in a level that I don't know if Chicharito did. Like,
well,
I just feel
funny.
It's that arrogance.
It was a bit. It's hilarious.
He's like a villain in a Bond movie.
I hope everybody got that he was having fun with the whole thing.
But it's even backed up in his play.
Oh, sure.
Zlatan I'm talking about. But there are people that I know that aren't soccer guys, but you're like Zlatan. They're like, oh, yeah, I know who that is. You know, like, I'm not sure that Chicharito is quite to that level, and I just gushed about how good he is.
He's a different guy. He's a different guy. He's not – no one expected him to be –
Both played for Manchester United, both with different results.
All right, so my beer is almost gone, so we got to wind this thing down. Anything else we need to bring up? Sam?
I just wanted to say I miss Alex Stanek very much so.
Well, you guys are sharing a microphone, so it's all good. All right, we're back next week, and we'll be breaking down what we see on Wednesday against Red Bulls in 2 weeks.
Two games.
Yeah, and we're playing Houston. Yeah, I know that. I thought you were telling me we were coming back in 2 weeks. It's like, well, we got the opener coming up.
We will be back in 2 weeks.
Yes,
but also the week prior.
All right. February has an extra day, so we got to keep that in mind as well. So we got a lot to break down when we come back next week here at the Point Tavern. We'll talk about the two friendlies out there in Arizona. I think we'll see a lot of different guys on Wednesday against Red Bulls just because of the way the schedule works out. And then Houston, I think we're back with what we're going to see on March 1st against NYCFC.
I have tentatively spoken with Neil Sika, who is currently out in Arizona watching the games. He'll be calling the next two, I believe, about coming on to give us kind of
Neil's a friend of mine.
Yes.
And I would love to have him.
Yeah, he's assuming flights and everything, getting back to Columbus, don't delay him. And
Him next week?
Yeah.
I think next week
before the first game, he'll give us kind of a firsthand. You know, he went out to some practices, I think, and stuff like that. So
that's great.
We'll probably get some information, but he's tentatively scheduled for the next week's podcast.
All right. Well, that is outstanding news, and so we look forward to talking to Neil as well. Anybody want to talk about Bart's bags? Bart is not here.
Stanek, you should read Bart's endorsement deal here.
Do we have one written down? I mean, I can talk about GCG bags. They are a Nordeca group that is fun-loving and very welcoming. And a sponsor of the Massive Report podcast. They make some of the best TIFO, some of the best two sticks in Nordeca, maybe some of the best two sticks in the history of the crew. They love Josh Williams very much, which I can appreciate because he's, you know, a great guy. They call him Angel Eyes, I think. That's the nickname. Just a great group of folks. You can find them at every mini and mega tailgate. And you can also see them at, is it gcgbag.com?
Yes.
And at gcgbag on Twitter.
That's right. Go check them out.
They're fun. Something life brand.
Definitely Bart, not failing or
definitely
something.
Definitely not failing, yeah. Sorry, we should know this.
If Bart wants it done right, he should show up.
That's a good point, Brian. Well stated.
Of course, I haven't been here the last couple of weeks.
I do want to just plug the new supporters group that I'm starting.
Okay.
It's called Matt and Sam.
Okay.
It's me and Sam Fahmy.
Is that like Matt and Kim?
It's similar. Yeah. Similar. Okay. But,
will there be the same kind of vibe?
What it is that there's a waiting list. It's $1,000 to join the waiting list. And the rule is that you have to be approved by both people that are in the supporters group right now, namely myself and Sam Fahmy.
Did you steal this idea from FC Cincinnati? I feel like this is some boondoggle.
It was actually Hearts of Oak from NYCFC.
I feel like some boondoggle they've come up with.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Fair enough. Thank you for being here, Matt. So thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. I'm going to try to be more focused. The fact that I was not aware of the Chicharito signing was very embarrassing to me. But like I said, I was on my back for like 2 weeks. So I feel like I've been in a coma or something. So I'm catching up. So I hope you'll have me back.
Yes.
Thanks, fella.
Absolutely.
Give me
one
more chance.
We'll talk about it.
I'll do better next week.
So the XFL.
No, we're not
talking about
week
two. What do you got?
Is dumb and a waste of time.
My St. Louis Blackhawks.
Wait a second.
Could not.
Battlehawks.
Every final score is 17-9, and the only good player in the league is Cardale Jones.
No.
Thank you.
P.J. Walker, the quarterback for Houston, is phenomenal.
All the uniforms are dumb.
Yep.
I disagree wholeheartedly.
It's like a waste. It's like the XFL, but without.
No, this is so much better.
XFL fun.
Yes.
This is so much better.
Just do the kickoff two times and go home. That's the only thing that's interesting about the XFL.
It's a 7-11 Canadian Football League.
You could say that about Major League Soccer.
I actually think XFL is very similar to Major League Soccer in the sense that if you have a team local to you and you like sports, then go. Yeah, if they had a Columbus XFL team, I would probably go and have a beer and just like not take it seriously. But if you are from outside of one of these major cities, it is a complete waste of time.
No, it isn't.
Especially when they run it at the same time as other legitimate sporting events.
It's
just like, why would I watch this?
It's god awful. Every team,
how many
every game
games
is
did you guys watch? How many games did you guys
watch?
I watched
the first weekend. I
watched the first
20.
Two. What was Cardale Jones the second week, right? Uh-huh. That game.
Why
there
is
was
he
an
in
interception.
The XFL? He should be in the NFL.
There was a missed interception where literally, like, two players went for it, and they just, like, hit each other, and the second guy hit him in the hands.
Has that never happened in the NFL? Has that never happened?
It happens less in the NFL because they're
better.
But
these guys have been playing together for a month, and we're comparing them to the NFL? That's the silliest thing ever.
You gotta catch a ball still.
No, I just want to compare them to something I want to watch.
The XFL has been surprisingly fun. It really has. I've watched several games. Seattle was rocking, like, the stadium was going crazy.
Bye, buddies.
All right, we're out of here. Good Lord.
Murphy.